Hello, everybody. This is Amanda Aloesh, and you are tuned in to Inalienable Sovereignty Conversations for Elevation. And I am really excited to have a dear sister, spirit sister on the path, Kristen Holmberg Paradiso. She is an amazing high school art teacher and a medicine artist. And I'm going to have her share a little bit more about herself. Welcome, Kristen. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, Amanda. Super happy to be here. Hello, everybody. I've been a high school art teacher for almost 24 years, and it's served me in a lot of amazing ways and continues to serve me in amazing ways. And I am in the process of expanding my art wings more and
Beautiful.
spending more time being in alignment with myself as an artist. And I don't have any intention of quitting teaching. It's just how I'm going to teach and who I'm going to teach that's going to change eventually. So.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I'll just say very briefly that for any of you out there who know about the Go Ask Alice Oracle and Tea Party game, that Kristen is the amazing art teacher who organized and picked the students and basically did the whole art project behind that deck. And it just turned out so great. It was really lovely to have kids involved in that project. And I know that you have, as long as I've known you, which has been quite a while, that you weave in ritual and you weave in spirituality into the teachings. And I'm just curious, has it always been that way? And like, what's that been like as far as bringing, kind of weaving these alternative pieces into the school system?
That is a great question. I don't think it, I know it hasn't always been there. I've been a teacher since I was in my early 20s. I'm almost 50 now. So there's definitely been a lot of path of trying to learn that and in conjunction with learning my own path, my own spirituality, raising two daughters on my own. So there's a lot of things interjecting. So it's definitely survival skills for a while. I would say that in the last maybe 10 to 15 years, I feel like I've had. That's where it started merging in more, just having more confidence in my own understanding of my belief system and spirituality. And honestly, just really more my understanding of how much that can open us up and how much it opens me up to touch my art into what it is to be alive as a human in this world and touching in on that more. So I think as I've grown in that way, it's definitely informed what I do in the classroom more. And it was slow at first, trying little things here and there and seeing how it went and what I could get away with, I guess. But I feel like every time I've taken that step, the kids have always responded just so honestly and well.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And that was going to be my next question is about, what did you witness as you've woven these pieces in? And maybe you could even give an example of, what we're talking about. Like, what is she talking about? And how the kids, how it impacts their engagement.
So I think in like I said in the beginning, it was kind of more subtle. So it was really just like, oh, we're gonna look at animal totems and displaying it as like in this culture, they are seen in this way, and in this culture, they're seen in this way. And by the way of the Native American zodiac, your animal is this, and you're gonna do a little piece on it, and then helping them dive into the animal itself, which to me is so much of the animal medicine is where does this animal live? What do they eat? So just really, it's like sort of this beautiful combination of like a connection to the natural world, but also just like science, and how those two kind of collide. So, and they love it. I mean, who doesn't love animals and getting to know them? So things like that have been easier to go into with my advanced students. When we had just come back from the pandemic and we could actually be together, we went outside to do just sort of a sitting outside. And I've done more of that recently, and that's definitely taking it to another level. They love it though. And it was just simply asking them, what they're grateful for, and what they want help with, which is the path I've been taught, working in medicine path with George Bolstein. And they just, it was just so natural to them. And then we just shared and it felt really good. And then I had a card deck with me, The Wild Unknown, and they just came up and chose a card. And that animal then became the catalyst for the project that we would do back in the classroom. So it was almost like it just gave them permission to just drop the guard of like school and just kind of be. So yeah. I think it's been really successful.
Beautiful. And as we're talking, I'm just realizing what a tie there is into that sense of sovereignty, which I'm curious what it means for you. And for me, it's like we're these multidimensional beings, and we've been programmed out of a lot of our awareness of our multidimensional selves. And school is a programmed experience. And yet art is such a beautiful way of expressing ourselves. And there's so much I could feel like I could geek out about, but you know, when we express ourselves through our art, right, it goes beyond those confining limitations. And there's that being able to really have freedom, hopefully, to express yourself authentically through art, through music, through poetry. And I'm curious how you see that, like, how does that impact students who may have felt a little repressed in one way or another, how you see the influence of it?
In general, I feel like, I mean, I teach all different levels for what I do right now. So I have Art One kids where not everybody chose to have art, you know, they just ended up there. Some definitely chose it. And as my classes go up, my advanced kids are choosing it every year. I find it actually really cool in my Art One classes where I have kids who come in who, you know, it's school, it's the system, and they're expecting it to still be the system. So when they first sort of see that my way of being in the classroom is my own way. It's not falling in line with here's our test, this is what we're doing. And we're, you know, it's not like so linear. There's structure, of course, and there's things that have to be due. There's certain things I have to continue to do, but it's cool seeing them kind of like loosen up to that because they're rigid at first because they're in the system. So it's cool to see that. And sometimes it takes till May for a kid. And sometimes a kid's like, oh, I see you right away, and everything in between. So I just find it psychologically interesting just to watch my students unravel, and kids who think they can't draw and that that's what it's all about. And then slowly learn that, you know, it's my job to teach them how to do that. And if they're open to it and willing to do it, then they are having an opportunity to sort of reclaim something that they may not even know they may have lost, or to express something that they know they have inside them and they're not allowed to share in other spaces within that system.
Yeah.
That's
so beautiful. And I've been excited about this conversation because I've been sharing quite a bit. I talk about in these interviews or in online things that I offer about how our current school system was basically the whole structure of it was adopted from ancient Roman, how they were continuing to be able to subjugate the people that they had conquered by taking their children away from the community, putting them in these sterile environments where they had to, you know, be kind of not children, right? They had to sit and, you know, do kind of things antithetical to who they are, and to break their spirits and to make them controllable. And I'm just curious about, well, a couple things. One is, you know, being this kind of wild card and, you know, helping, it's like, you know, from inside, you know, the calls coming from inside the house, like she's in there doing this stuff. Like, have you hit a lot of barriers to kind of helping kids to feel a little bit more authentic and, you know, a little bit more rebellious against the system from within?
Yeah, Of course I have. And I, like I said, I have kids who see me right away for it. And once they see that they're safe in there, they can express themselves in a lot of really good ways. I actually would say, because I've been teaching through the discovery of cell phones in teenagers' hands, and I definitely have seen that being a barrier to kids' creativity, to human creativity.
No doubt.
That their ability to open up, their ability to, I don't want to say like teenagers are lazy, you know, but they don't, there's a different sense of like, what's easiest. I just want to do what's easiest so I can get in and get out. Mm-hmm. And I don't honestly blame them for that, because that's what the system's kind of offered them. So that's a harder one to butt up against. There's, you know, they don't want to know how to do it in a way that's going to be enriching to them. They want to know how to do it so they can get the degree. And it's just like, that part of it, you know, I love the question, well, which one's easier? And I'm always like, neither one. They're both hard. Make a choice. You know, like, just go. So I definitely feel like, I mean, there's teenagers in general, which we've all been, and they're, you know, regardless if it's Roman times or now, like the idea of being a teenager and feeling that contradiction between, you know, still wanting to like curl up to mommy and wanting to spread your own wings. I mean, that's just like the constant, you know, 14 to 18 years of age, it's just that constant flow. And sometimes I end up getting in the way of that, and sometimes I end up helping it. So it's just, but I would say the barriers of technology integration and social media and those different things have just changed the generation in a different way.
Yeah. It's like pre-programmed, swipe left, swipe right. All the other things are kind of filled in versus fully engaging. My partner, Matthew, he has a 10-year-old daughter who has been diagnosed with ADHD. And I just really find her to be incredibly creative. And my own personal kind of theory about ADHD is it's like the kids who are more resistant to the programming of, you know, sit still, you know, do as you're told. It's like, there's something in their spirit that's like, fuck that. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I'm curious how, you know, as a teacher, what are the schools, you know, is there any kind of awareness of how to support these kids learning in a different way? Or is it just like they need to get medicated so they can fall in line with the way we do it here?
I think both of those are true. And it just depends on the teachers that you have. I work with a lot and have worked with a lot of really great special ed teachers over the years. It just depends on what the administration support is at the time. COVID was interesting because suddenly there was this, oh, we need mental health professionals, these poor kids. And you know, that was great. It got mental health to pay, you know, for finally the kids have been asking for mental health services for years before COVID. Mm. But somebody at the upside woke up a little bit to that. So there's a shift, at least in the right direction, of taking care of not just like ADHD, which is like a thing, and then also the mental health aspect of it. So I'm hoping that stays true, but again, it's the system. It's just like such a hard thing. I mean, certainly it's wonderful to have parents who are caring, parents who see that, who want to support you, and for those parents to stay involved and see who the teachers are, who are in alignment and speak, you know, it's about helping your kids to be able to advocate for themselves.
Yeah.
And helping them, which is a huge thing for any teenager. And all teenagers should be encouraged to advocate for themselves. That's a big
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And who's teaching them that? Mm-hmm. Maybe Miss Holmberg Paradiso, but not many other people. I'll just quickly say, growing up, I was considered gifted, and I was put into programs for gifted kids, which was awesome. But also when I was just in the regular classroom, I was done with my homework. Like, you know, I was done with all the work for the day, like halfway through the day. And then I was getting in trouble because I was done, you know? And then I was like, I, you know, got to do stuff. And I'm like, I didn't get diagnosed with ADHD. Maybe it was, I'm just too old. They hadn't figured it out there in Utah yet. But, you know, I got like sent to extra recess or given art supplies, or now I'm reading to the class, or I'm giving this test. Which was weird. And I'm just like, you know, it's just like people don't like our whole society system doesn't know how to deal with the people that are outside the box. And it's, there's more focus put on getting people to fit in the box than to celebrate the diversity and recognize it as a gift. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. And I would love to transition into one of the things that you're really amazing at and stepping more into, which is your medicine art, your medicine paintings. And I'd love for you to share a little bit about how that's evolved. What is a medicine art piece? Take it away.
Awesome. That's all. Thank you. I love talking about this. So I started creating commissions. I feel like it was almost 10 years ago. A dear friend of mine was getting married, Erica. For those of you who know Erica, right? And my friend Kim Fortina was one of her many matrons of honor. And they wanted to get her something. So they commissioned me to create a painting for her. Really the idea of trying to create a painting that was from 14 different people for one person was like, oh God, like, where do I even start with that? So I just naturally at that time was like, what's everybody's animal totem? And so somehow I knew what Erica's was, and just to weave in all of these, this animal tribe of hers and each of their individual unique animal totems that some people had right away and other people needed a little like, how do I even know what my totem is? And so that was the beginning of that work. I have worked with lots of different guides, trees and plants and different elements of the, you know, earth, air, water, fire, the sun, the moon, stars, all those things have informed my work for a really long time. And then my work with animals and really came in at that time and was coming in with other things. I was doing a lot of bird work. And then that's just sort of transcribed of like, wow, like this idea what an animal has to offer us just became even more powerful for my own personal development. And to realize like you have various animal guides that come to you through different parts of your life. I started looking back like, oh yeah, I was really into teddy bears as a kid. It's like, oh my God, I had a bear totem for like the first 10 years of my life. Didn't even know it. You know, everybody had maybe a lammy or some other little creature. You loved unicorns as a kid, you know, like who was there to kind of guide you? And so I've just been delving a lot more into that. And over the course of time, I've been really honing in on that and how I can help people with whatever they're trying to create in their life through imagery. Cause I've always used imagery to work through whatever it is that I was working through in my life. And by painting it, creating it, I mean, the creation alone for me is my meditation. I can't sit and, you know, create a meditation, but when I'm painting, I am just deep in. When I'm creating, I'm deep in. I would imagine it's similar to somebody who's like really into gardening. I know I am into gardening. So when I'm out in my garden, it's just like a way to shut off the outside chatter and just be. And so then as I created more commissions for people and delved into like, how can I make this deeper for them? So I've come to this process now where you know, if somebody comes to me like, I want, you know, partnership in my life, or I want to feel more connected to the moon or whatever it is, or I want to find more self-empowerment in my life. And this beautiful conversation comes from that. And then I reflect back to that person some great journal prompts to help them dive deeper into what it is that they're really trying to work with. And within that, we can extract different like colors and seasons and animals and plants and other tools that people are already using to help themselves. And then I'm finding really amazing ways to weave those things into this visual format for that person. I like get goosebumps over it. It's just been this whole next level for me as an artist. Cause I'm getting introduced to animals that I hadn't really paid that much attention to before. And suddenly like more recently, the last commission I did had a beautiful puma in it. I hadn't really worked with a lot of puma medicine and dove into it for this client. And then literally last week I was struggling with something in my life and was out at 2 o'clock in the morning, looking at the moon to get some reflection, and the shape of the moon looked like an eye, but not a full eye. Like it was starting to wane. And I was like, wow, it looks kind of like maybe a wolf or a cat. And then the next day I was like, oh my God, it was a puma eye. And suddenly like that medicine filtrated my life and it helped me so much that day. Mm. So just the transcendence of like how all these guides can help us is just, I got off on a little bit of a tangent there, but.
Oh, it's great. That's beautiful. I'm going to say something in response to what you were sharing. And if you have a medicine painting that you're either working on or one that's finished that you could show while I'm chatting, you could step away and grab it right now. It'd be awesome. Do you have one that you could show us?
I mean, the last ones I did were for clients, but I have one I can go.
Okay, grab one. So as Kristen's going to grab a sample, I'll just say there's this book that I finished reading called The Alphabet Versus the Goddess. And they talk about the power of symbol and how the symbols and art activate our right brain, and which is more of our kind of infinite selves, our timeless selves. And as we turned more into letters, we went more into left brain thinking, and that there's this correlation between moving away from the sacred feminine and more into the masculine and domination and power over. And so art to me and symbols just seem so important. And there's some way that art, color, shape, symbols can really speak to the soul that just have nothing to do with, doesn't make any sense. I don't even know what I'm thinking, but it just, there's something about it that just I can feel that's really important. So anyway, would you please show us your...
Oh, I love what you're saying there. So I did this piece just last week as we were transitioning into Pisces full moon.
Like white cranes against a moon. Yeah. And then water
and the beautiful little fish at the bottom here.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Beautiful.
In this piece, I literally dropped everything in the day after the full moon. I was like, I just need to create, which is very Pisces, very Pisces full moon energy, and dream. And I normally don't have the space in my life to just literally drop everything and do it, but I did it that day and it didn't get finished in that one day, of course, because art takes time, but, this is just an example of me diving into like,
beautiful.
What is Pisces? What is a full moon? What does a Pisces and full moon even mean? So as me going and reading up on all my astrology favorites and seeing what they're saying and then
beautiful.
Letting it infiltrate my little world. And
beautiful.
Yeah.
If you have others, if you could maybe share while you're sharing your other examples, like what are some of the journal prompts that you give people? So somebody who's like, I'm really curious about this. I may connect with Kristen or I may not, but I'm curious about what are the journal prompts to get somebody really tuned in to this whole totem, whether it's an animal or a plant or an element. Maybe you could share with our people as you're showing the visuals.
Yeah. I have some basics questions that I definitely include every time that have to do with, I mean, they're really simple. It's not like some big hard thing. Like what animals do you feel connected to? Or is there an animal that you love? And it could be something you've never seen before or something like your dog. Mm-hmm. And then I definitely always tie into what people's,
beautiful.
Half of that in there.
So great.
I'll let it take up the space while I talk.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Getting in what people's favorite colors are. I mean, it's really that simple. What shapes are you drawn to? What's your favorite season? You know, just getting, it's all the things that are there, but just when you're asked the question all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait, I have a choice. And what am I interested in? And then I do always create original questions that are specific to that client's prayer and what they're trying to manifest in their life.
Beautiful.
So a couple of questions that help them dive deeper into that aspect.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So if somebody was interested in, you know, exploring their own, like maybe they're an artist or they don't, they're, curious about their, you know, art exploration, but what would you tell somebody who was like, oh, this is really kind of exciting, I want to go down this path? Any particular advice you would give somebody for stepping into exploring a medicine representation that they could sit with that would really feel like it's speaking to them and representative of who they are?
Like to create themselves or to look?
Create themselves.
I mean, I just feel like if everybody could drop the I can't draw statement and just let that go, burn it, do whatever you have to do, you know, let that, you know, seep that out of your system. Because it is the system that told you that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And just allow yourself, like, buy a set of pens, buy a set of paints. Like, don't worry if it intimidates you, good. Like, take that on even more. Set yourself up with an hour, even just an hour, to just play with it and not feel like you have to create anything. I mean, if you're really just like, I've never made anything and now I just play.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, make lines, make shapes. I mean, I really do use, I mean, this is, you know, circles started this whole thing. That's mm-hmm. it. Circles, mm-hmm. this is all just shape and abstract. You know, yeah, there's some drawing in the middle there, but there's so much you can create. I mean, for me, I get goosebumps over a circle. Like, it's just, it's my shape. I just love it so much. And sometimes if I don't even know, I know I need to create, but I don't have anything in my mind, I'll just start making shapes. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get colored pencils or paint and just start filling in different sections of it. I mean, you can even do like full scribbles and then go try to find little pictures in them.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, mm-hmm.
It's like looking at clouds and trying to find, you know, images in the clouds. Splash some paint around and see what you
find. Beautiful.
Yeah.
There's something that special that happens that I think has been some of the disconnect with tech. Mm-hmm. When we are actually making something with our hands and, you know, with our brains, our eyes are engaged and there's something going on, even something simple. Like I do origami.
Oh gosh, it's so hard for me. Good job.
Some of them are really hard, and I can't do them either, but, you know, but just making something very simple with your hands, it does something really, really helpful to the brain that counteracts Alzheimer's and, you know, increases your ability to learn new things and sharpens the brain and helps with meditation. And so I highly recommend that. And then for people who are, curious and want to get a medicine art piece from you, I know it's a whole beautiful process, as you mentioned, with journal prompts and all of that. How can they connect with you? And, you know, are you open? I know that at times you've been like, I've got a lot going on right now.
Yeah, no, I'm open to it. And I actually just finished creating a whole page on my website that fully explains and introduces you to everything that has to do with getting an amazing medicine painting.
Beautiful. And what's your website?
It's innerluna.com.
Innerluna, innerluna.com. Inner moon.
Yep.
Innerluna.com. Beautiful. I love it. I'm, you know, I can imagine it would be like Christmas. You know, I do have some of Kristen's artwork and, you know, I've seen several of the commission pieces and it's just really, really incredible to have somebody who's so gifted and tuned in, you know, to you. It's like somebody seeing into your soul and then showing you how beautiful that is, that you get to look at every single day. And it, again, it speaks beyond the brain. It does speak to the soul, and that's what makes it medicine, mm-hmm. Helpful medicine. Thank you so much, Kristen, for taking the time. I really just sending you all kinds of blessings. Thank you for being an amazing teacher. Thank you for, you know, caring about the students and helping them to express themselves in beautiful ways, and blessings on your new chapter that you're transitioning into. You know, may more and more people be blessed by your medicine in the world.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. All right, everybody. It's been really lovely. Thank you for tuning in. If you like this, like it, share it with other people. Let me know who you want me to talk to. If you have somebody who you're like, oh my gosh, this person needs to be interviewed by Amanda Eloash, please get a hold of me in all the ways that are, you know how to do: comments, DMs, voicemails, all the things. You know, we're here to help you to get more sacred in your life, to access your inalienable sovereignty through all different means. And until we get to connect again, may the source be with you, everybody.